It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Multiple sclerosis is a neurological condition affecting nearly a million people in the U.S. There's no cure for MS. Treatments focus on slowing the progression of the disease. For one Wisconsin neurologist, the therapy plan for all of his patients includes making art or rekindling artistic passions that were part of their lives before that MS diagnosis. Scientists have long known that the creative arts have therapeutic value. According to a study published last year in the journal Frontiers in Behavioral Neuroscience, things like dance, painting, and music appear to be effective in enhancing mental and physical health. Dr. Ahmed Obidat sees patients who are managing multiple sclerosis and immune disorders of the central nervous system. He's an associate professor of neurology at Fraidert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Obidat spoke recently with Kate Archer Kent.
We know that early diagnosis and early treatment is really effective in managing an MS diagnosis. Can you talk about, first, some of the common symptoms of multiple sclerosis?
Certainly. So multiple sclerosis is a relatively common disease that affects mostly younger population. And it is a disease that can present in any way, actually, that has to do with the central nervous system. So when we think about what symptoms can happen in multiple sclerosis, these symptoms can include difficulties with vision, where some people may develop blurred vision or double vision. Some people will have weakness, maybe of an arm or a leg, or sometimes with an arm and a leg, and sometimes with a face too. Some people may have numbness or tingling, which is a symptom where people can feel pins and needles. Some people may have difficulty with controlling bladder, so unable to maybe empty their bladder completely, or they may have urgency, they have to go to the bathroom more often, and sometimes even it can be difficulties with controlling bowels. So the symptoms can be anything, but there are some other symptoms that we often forget about in multiple sclerosis, and we often don't talk much about, that include some of these cognitive difficulties. So people can have memory difficulties, attention difficulties, sometimes can have extreme fatigue that can interfere with day-to-day activity. Other symptoms may also include pain. And pain can be anywhere, and it can be severe and debilitating for people that they can sometimes unable to do their day-to-day activity, or some people would lose their job because of these symptoms. So wide variety, and not every patient similar to the other. So it's a very, it's a disease of very unique characteristic. I often call it like snowflakes, right? Every snowflake is different. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think about multiple sclerosis, is everyone is unique with what they would experience with this disease.
In the midst of that uniqueness, though, you have to tell your patients that there isn't a cure right now for MS. How might that knowledge affect their mental health, their mental well-being?
Correct. Yeah, this is a very important point that you're raising here, is it remains a disease that we can treat, but we cannot cure. But we want to try to live well with MS. And we, as the healthcare team, we want to provide people living with this disease the best we can from any treatment that we can provide or any support that we can provide to help people live their life to the best possible.
And one of those interventions that you use in your practice is the creative arts, that art has a therapeutic value. Can you talk about that and how you are incorporating art into treatment plans?
Yes, this is a great, great question. And really, it is one of the things that's really dear to my heart. Because when you think about us as humans, we are creative. We are born creative. We are able to do a lot of things that we can produce. And sometimes we forget about it because we get busy in life, busy with doing a lot of things. And what we try to do in our practice is we try to talk to people living with multiple sclerosis and other neurological diseases. And we say, let's focus on abilities. Let's focus on how can we create art and how can we incorporate this into day-to-day living. So I always would ask, do you create any art? Have you done any artwork before? And actually, often more than not, people would say, oh, yeah, I used to paint. I used to write poetry. I used to play an instrument and I don't do it anymore. And then we talk about why we're not doing it anymore. They're like, I cannot because I can't use my fingers to play, for example, the guitar, or I cannot, my vision is not as good as used to be. I cannot paint and perceive colors as I used to. Then we say, well, let's get back to it. Let us help you get back to this. And I want you to try to get out this canvas, get out these colors, get out this guitar that has the dust on it, get it out and try to play it. And I want, next time I see you, I want you to tell me about this. And I want you to report back to me, how did you feel when you do it? And more than not, many of the times people come in back and say, well, you know something? I can play the guitar again. I joined a band again, or I painted this, and I get my chart messages with paintings where people create and showing me the artwork that they created. But not only this, you know, we had people who are known artists, so they actually are artists, they're professional artists, who developed MS, and then MS really took away a lot of the abilities to move from them. So they had really severe symptoms. And what we did to actually return back to their art career is we helped them to be able to utilize art and employ art making as a rehab strategy. Hmm. Creating art will help build new pathways or even improve the connectivity in some areas where there are no damage that happened by the immune system. So there are ways where we could even see changes in brain networks that can help people, gain back some of the abilities that maybe, you know, were trying, MS was trying to take away from them.
I wonder too, Dr. Obidot, whether the patients also realize that you're seeing them beyond their MS. You're seeing them in their artistic endeavors, that they are more than just their disease that they're trying to manage. Might that also be a piece of it, that you're taking their art and their creativity seriously?
Yeah, this is really another great point you're bringing here, is I don't want to just treat MS. I want to get to know the person who's living with this disease, and I want to know them on various levels, because that's important. Because when we take care of people living with chronic disease, and MS is considered a chronic lifelong disease, we build a long-term relationship with the person, and we, as their healthcare professional taking care of them, we get to know them, and we get to know them on various levels, and what they do in life, what their work, what their hobbies are, what they like to eat, what they don't like to eat, where do they go vacation, where they like to travel, or you know, do they like to garden or do something at home that we are very interested in learning about. So this is part of the healing process, is that we build this rapport and we build this relationship with patients for long term. And we highlight, you know, things around the arts or around the creativity, but around things that they love to do. So definitely this is, this helps. I think it helps really, and it's a powerful way of looking at, practicing medicine.
We're talking about the intersection between medicine and art with Dr. Ahmed Obidot. He's a neurologist at Friedert and the Medical College of Wisconsin, who sees patients who are diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and includes art into a treatment intervention. Dr. Obidot, you know, art and art practice may not be something that everyone has access to. There's art supplies, there's instrument costs, transportation. You know, if you're going to see art, there's the cost of tickets. And then also there's that free time, the need to be able to spend time away from work or other things. How do you work with patients to make sure that they have the resources, that they have the time to participate in art in meaningful ways that could impact their life?
Yeah, this is a great question. Again, it's definitely, you know, art or creating art is something that may come at with a cost, a financial cost, or also time-related cost. And what we try to do is we try to first gauge interest from the patient and say, you know, is this something that you've done before? And if so, you know, do you have the tools to do it? Do you have canvas at home? Do you have colors? Do you have an instrument at home? And often actually the answer is yes, I do. Then we try to say, well, get those things out back again and try to utilize those things that you already have. If not, then we try actually to to develop programs where we can have art making, I would say, workshops and classes and things like this, where we try to partner with nonprofit organizations to design certain art programs. As we move forward with things like this, I think we're going to be able to provide more access to people to be able to enjoy their creativity and be able to produce more and help them through the healing process. Now, for the time, you know, where to find the time, you know, there are always the weekends to do something in a weekend, right? Mm. Or to do something in the evening if we can, or early hours. And this is where probably we can incorporate some of these programs. When we developed our program that we submitted for funding, we actually intentionally had sessions that are during the week, and we did sessions that are during the weekend, because we want to make sure that people who are working during the week are able to still have access to such program. So we're hoping that with more submission of this type of program, that we will ultimately get some funds to be able to implement this in Wisconsin on a larger scale in the state as a whole, not only in Milwaukee.
A personal question here. Does art influence you personally as a physician and as a scientist? And if so, how?
Yes, so this is a great question too, again. And yes, it does. So I do incorporate art into my day-to-day, I would say, life. I am a photographer. I'm actually, in a way, I'm a professional photographer in a way, where I do exhibit at galleries, and I'm represented by Nadiana Art Gallery in Milwaukee. But I also do participate in exhibits all over the state and all over the country too, with photography. So I do a lot of nature photography. To me, that is healing for me too. You know, we as clinicians, as doctors, we need to take care of ourselves sometimes with certain ways. And for me, art is a way for me to heal also from, you know, just living my life and being there for people. And for me, a walk in nature with my camera is a healing. I think I can go hours and hours in a weekend and try to capture small moments in life and small things that we may just pass by and don't pay any attention to, but then it could be a work of art. So this is what I try to incorporate. I also write poetry. And that's another big part of what I like to do. And I've written poems on multiple sclerosis and on neurological, living with neurological disease, and on taking care of people living with neurological disease. But that's part also of what I try to do. My wife is a professional artist. She's a painter, and she does 3D also work with sculpture. And that part also, you know, of having a spouse who is an artist, helps me also kind of, you know, continue to integrate this into our day-to-day life. You know, a dinner conversation over the arts is pretty nice and fun and keeps us engaged, and it is healing. You know, it's healing for everyone.
As you go through walks in nature, what is your most incredible picture you've taken in nature that you keep coming back to again and again? Is there one that stands out?
There are a number of them, but I think, you know, some of the small details in very little flowers. To me, the color, the design of the flowers, little ones in nature, when you do something called macro photography, where you actually taking a very close-up photo of these beautiful creatures. To me, those are the ones that I have the most connection with. How can we reflect on those structures, and how can we reflect on this beauty to incorporate this in our life and try to enjoy this so we can, you know, be strong and we can overcome a lot of these difficulties that we go through in life. So I would say this is really what mostly, you know, I love to look at, and I keep going back to these pictures, especially when I have these tiny flowers with water drops on them. Hmm. And to me, this combination, and with a light reflection, this combination just keeps attracting, you know, my eye, and I like to keep looking at it.
As we talk, it is absolutely apparent that you are convinced that art can really help heal, help in the healing process for people. You know, how might the scientific community do the research to better measure the impact of art in the treatment process?
Yeah, this is very, very important question. And do we really need clinical trials to prove that art help people with neurological disease or help people in general? Probably not. But do we have to prove it? Maybe yes. Why is that? Because you mentioned earlier that there may be resources needed to support some of these activities. And maybe for organizations or payers to be able to recognize this as part of the healing process, they'll need data, right? You need data showing that this works. We all know that art makes people happy, art promotes healing, but we need to prove it through the scientific method.
Because you can't bill insurance for it.
Correct, yeah. Exactly. Or get people to pay for it, right?
Right.
So there have been works around this, and they are studies that looked at not only in people living with neurological disorders, but also people who are aging in life and older adults and even in children. But also there is a role for what we call the functional MRI. So functional MRI is a advanced type of imaging that not only look at the structure of the brain, but looks at the function of the brain as someone is engaged in creative activity. And what those studies have shown on various levels, that there is improved connectivity in certain brain areas and certain neuronal pathways and connections. And not only improvement in this connectivity, but maybe even building new connectivity and new connections that we call the term synaptic plasticity or improvement of connection in specific areas. But, I actually did a quick search on clinicaltrial.gov. It's a website where you find what active clinical studies are going on that looking at treatment or healing for diseases. And I searched how many active or recruiting or just recently completed clinical trials for multiple sclerosis in general. Mm-hmm. And there were over 3,500 studies. But guess what? Only five studies out of the over 3,500 studies, only five studies globally that is looking at something related to the art in the healing of people living with multiple sclerosis. Out of the 3,500 studies, only five studies. And only one of them in the United States that was actually terminated because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So definitely the connection between healing through the arts and multiple sclerosis is an area that is very much understudied and under-recognized, I would say, from a scientific method and from scientific community.
Well, Dr. Obidat, I appreciate this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Really, I enjoyed the conversation, too. Thank you so much.
That's Dr. Ahmed Obidat, an associate professor of neurology at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. He talked to Kate Archer Kent about how he incorporates the creative arts with his patients who are managing the symptoms of multiple sclerosis, a disease of the central nervous system. And for disclosure, Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin are business sponsors of WPR.